Okay, everyone. Good afternoon. It's good to see everyone again. I hope everyone's well. Just finishing the fast here on this end, so we're just sort of a Kabbal Machu Shemayim, it's a Shema Yisrael. And I have to apologize, but I presented the topic of today's shiur. I spoke a little bit about Snias on my WhatsApp chat, and everyone's really welcome. If you're not on the WhatsApp chat, join it 3, 4, 5 minutes every day. But today for the shiur, I want to talk about something a little bit different, and I'm trying to think of off-the-road issues, not the typical. I'm sure you've heard a lot of shiurim, and what should we think about, and how can we recover? Jared, can you please remind me? I'm sorry. Jared, can you please dedicate this shiur? Maybe in chat. Jared?
Yes, it's to my late mother, Yocheved Hoda, but Arya Leib Shimon Alevi. Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay, and Hashem Shed Evan Aliyah, so thank you, Jared. So, just want to mute everyone. Okay, so we just finished discussing. I just finished davening Mishana Le'elio Bahara Carmel Hu Yaneinu, and we tried to look back to our past, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered us in the past, and you should continue to answer. And that's really the Ikra part of Slichos. And if any of you are still fasting, or even if you're not fasting in America, I really, if you know in Israel, it's already a Rosh Chodesh, so you can't say Slichos. But if you're not in Israel, please open up after the Shir. It's in the end of Slichos. It's the section called Mishana. That's really the Ikar Slichos. Misha Ana La'avram Avinu Bahar Mariyahu Yaneinu. That's more or less what Chazal said. And there goes their Atinus. So I thought to myself that we live in a very, very quiet world. Now, it depends on how big your house is. But even if you live in a smaller house, maybe some of you live in apartment buildings, our world over the last 2 weeks has become a lot quieter. We're not running. There are no trains, buses, cars running. Feels like we've walked into a different century in many, many ways. But the world is much more quiet. And what does that mean? How do we process a world that's a lot more quiet than it ever was? And it made me think of Eliyahu, because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Eliyahu, I want to try to read some of the Pesukim for you today, he appears to him on Har HaKarmel, and the Pasuk in Lachim Aleph, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Aleph, Vayomer, Hashem tells him, Sevi Amadata Bahar, Lefnei Hashem, and Hashem will pass, Vini Hashem Over, Ruach Gidola. And there'll be a big wind that will break rocks. And Hashem isn't in the Ruach. Lo Baruch Hashem. Be'achrei Ruach will be, after a wind, there'll be a loud noise, a crashing, thunderous noise. We should know, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in that loud noise. And after the noise, Pasuk Yud Beis, Ve'achar Rash Eish, there'll be a fire, blazing fire. Lo Be'eish Hashem, Ve'achar Eish, Kol Demama Daka. Kadosh Baruch Hu was found in silence. Kol Demama Daka. And it's very similar. Eliyahu's private meeting with Kadosh Baruch Hu is very similar to Moshe Rabbeinu's private meeting, which we just spoke about. Those of us who said Slichos and Hashem Hashem Kirach V'chanon. I spoke about Moshe's meeting with the Kadosh Baruch Hu on my daily WhatsApp chat. So Hashem is found in a very silent place. What does it mean? Why is Hashem found in silence? Why is Hashem surrounded by silence? We live in a quieter world. How can we find a Kadosh Baruch Hu? It's very similar to another pasuk in Tehillim. This is Tehillim Perak Ayin Vav, which describes Har Sinai. And Atanarata Pasuches, you are almighty, you are beyond. Umi amod lefanecha me'azapecha, who could withstand your anger? Here's the pasuk test. Mishamayim hishmata din, you introduced your Torah from Shamayim, Har Sinai, Eretz yara vishakata. The entire universe was silenced. Now part of that, we'll talk about later, is the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Har Sinai itself, the core of Har Sinai, not just Elio and Har HaKarmel, and not just Moshe Rabbeinu's private Har Sinai, but Har Sinai itself, at a certain point, was very still. At a certain point, was very quiet, which is not necessarily the images we have of Har Sinai, of Kolos Evrakim, Anan Kaved Alar. Possibly the way to solve the stira is that the world around Har Sinai was very quiet, but Har Sinai was very levitic, was very loud. But either way, there's a silence that's associated with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a quiet at Har Sinai, a quiet at Har HaKarmel, a quiet that we find at Kadosh Baruch Hu. We live in a quieter world. Fewer planes, fewer trains, fewer buses, fewer travel, fewer people, fewer noise. I wake up every morning, I hear the birds chirping. There's a lot of quiet, a lot of time. Again, depends upon where you are, who you're spending time with. You have your own space, but I'm sure there's a lot of thinking. What do we do with all this quiet? Well, what does quiet represent to us? I thought maybe it's an interesting thing to study, to try to pick all the parts of our lives that are really coming to life, that are surfacing, and try to provide some Torah guidance to stream them through. Okay, so quiet in Tanakh gives us five or six different feelings, which I think all are fairly relevant to the coronavirus struggle. Number one, probably the most famous silence in the Torah, is Aaron's silence, Vayidom Aaron. Aaron is quiet. He's just lost his two sons. This is his day. This is his day for vindication. This is his day for catharsis. So he's really very charged emotionally for this day. And then his two children, I'm just trying to take the pen out of my back pocket, are incinerated in public fashion. And he could cry and he could scream and he could complain and he could argue. Vayidom Aaron, he swallows his shriek and he's quiet. And in this sense, when someone is quiet, like Aaron's quiet, then you're accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gzera. As much as we try to daven and to understand and to plead and to probe, it has to be some part of Kabbalah Sadin. Part of tshuva is being Makabal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gzera. You have a lot of this in the Gemara where Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim and sees Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva is far surpassing his level of Torah, and Moshe says, well, why don't you just let him be Makabal Torah? Why am I the Nosina Torah? Why am I the person in Har Sinai? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, shtok, because there's a lot of quiet means you can't understand my ways, you can't understand my will, so you're just quiet and silence. And when you think about the silence in our world, think about the fact that should try to encourage a little bit of Kabbalah Sadin, that there's something wrong in our world. We don't know. We don't know the ways of our Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm just going to adjust the camera a little bit. We don't know whether the crime fits the punishment fits the crime. This Kabbalah Sadin, in Eo, Perak Lamed Aleph, take a look. Some of you want to have a little chance to look up some sukkim. Ve'adom, lo etze Pesach. I'll be quiet. I'm not going to even leave my house. So this, of course, has received new meaning now in Eretz Yisrael. We've been essentially quarantined into our homes across the country. We're not allowed to leave our homes whatsoever. We're allowed to go about 100 meters from our home just for some air. So it's metaphoric, and we'll talk about this a little bit next week as we get closer to Pesach. The Jews spending the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim in their homes. Ayat Seishmi Pesach Beisel, not leaving their homes. But for Eov, those of you who probably have learned Bav Metzia, have learned Shavuos, there's a lach in Bav Metzia and Shavuos called Shtika Kehoda, that when you're challenged, and you say, someone says, you owe me money, you're quiet, it's like you're modus. So there's a silence that just defers and admits and acknowledges, and our world is silent, and the world and ourselves are acknowledging the Ratzon Hashem. It's when we make a bracha, when someone dies, Baruch Dayin HaMes, it's Kabbalah Sadin, and whether now we feel like we have to constantly, so much bad news happening, and 700x people died in Spain, and just you have to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gzera without railing against it. It shouldn't stop the thought process, But there has to be. It's not something, especially some of the younger boys who are listening, younger girls are listening, that's something you may be familiar with because you haven't really encountered tragedy. So the first step of tragedy is Kabbalah Sadin, and in Tanakh, quiet and silence is associated with Kabbalah Sadin. Second part that I think silence represents is sadness and trauma and suffering. When you're standing at someone's grave, no one's really talking. And you're not just being makabel that didn't klape shmaya theologically, you're also just sad. And sometimes when you're sad, you're just quiet. You don't want to talk. And probably the greatest expression of that is in Eicha, Perek Gimel, Yeshev Badad V'yidom. You should just sit quietly. V'yidom. Just be silent. V'yidom Aaron. Yeshev Badad V'yidom Kinatal Allah. Because our glory has been taken and snatched from us. And I don't think it's a theological moment. It's a very emotional moment where you're just sad. And I would think and hope. Let me just, there's a safer that's falling, so I want to move the safer from my desk. I would hope that during the course of the day, I hope we shouldn't hear any more terrible news, but I mean, the news is terrible and we hear it from all corners. I would hope that at some point you just either cry or you hold back tears at the very least. Obviously, you can't regulate or govern your emotional responses, but at the very least, just be quiet and just absorb it and I move on to the next thing, to the next meal, to the next internet site, to the next Zoom share, but just absorb what is happening to us and to humanity. There's another celebrated pasuk. It's a pasuk that teaches us a lot of halachos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Yecheskel to simulate Avelus in Yerushalayim, and he tells him in Perchav Dalet, Hanek Dom, be silent. And this we learn that an Avel is Aser B'She'ela Shalom, can't speak to people. So it's not a theological moment. You can't speak to people because you have to be Mekabel Malchus Shalayim, Mekabel B'Kzera. It's more you just said, you're an Avel, and a sign of Avelus. Every night before we go to sleep, and this is the third aspect of silence, every night you go to sleep, one of the last parts of Kriya Shema that we recite is a pasuk, again from Tehillim, Rigzu v'al techato, Imru v'levavchem al mishkavchem v'domu sela. So here I think there's a little bit more of an inflective, or not the Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim, and it's not the sadness, but it's pensive, and it's meditative, and it's contemplative, and it's Rigzu V'al Techato, as I'll talk about this pasuk as trying to wake people up from stupor, and a person feels Yitzhara coming, so this reminds him of the ultimate silence if a person passes when the body goes silent. And I think this silence, I would call it fear, contemplation, thinking about facing death, not Kabbalah's Gzeres Hashem, and it's not the trauma and the sadness and the Avelos, but it's Rigzu V'al Techato. Rigzu means rally your principles, your morals to avoid chait. Imru V'levavchem al Mishkavchem. There's a double entendre here. Mishkavchem means your bed, which is why we recite it during Kriya Samhita, Kriya Shema Samhita. It also means your Mishkav, a Yishkav. A person will ultimately have a bed in which he retires to permanently. The Domu Sel, you'd be quiet forever. So there's a play on words. By thinking about the Yom HaMisa, person can then try to trigger proper moral response even during the Chaim, even during the time that he walks this earth. So there's a silence that's more pensive, trying to connect to larger issues, issues of gravitas. So there's a silence that allows processing, that allows deeper thought. Rabbi Akiva once said, Siag l'chach mashasika, that the entree or the protector of chachma is silence, is thinking and listening to others, of course. So far I've talked about two or three, namely Kabbalah Sagzera, Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim, Kabbalah Sadin. Two is just sadness, Bechi. Bechi is an outpouring, but sometimes the sadness is contained and you're just silent. Three is Rigzu V'el Techto Imu V'Levavchem Al Mishkavchem V'Damusela. Number four is, my wife was saying this after we finished saying Shema, the world has stopped, and not just has humanity stopped, but it feels like the world has paused. Everything that we had, everything that we knew has paused. It's on hold. And when the Torah describes and the Tanakh describes the sun of Yehoshua halting its orbit, it actually uses a phrase, its personification, Shemesh Begivon. It doesn't say Shemesh Begivon Netzar, which would be the natural Hebrew term to describe the halting of the sun, Shemesh Begivon Netzar, the phrase is Shemesh Begivon Dom. Dom means it's silent. So there's a music to nature, whether it's a real music, it's a shir. We talk about this so often in Tehillim and in the Prakim, especially the Prakim Aziranu Atseayar Mifne Hashem Kivalish Bodhisare, Chir Lashem Shechadash Halu, Bamromim Haloko, Malachava Lokot, Ravalu, Shemesh Verechokhir. Whether that's an actual shir, and there's a sefer called Sefer Ashira, that evidently even aspects of nature that we feel are inanimate have their shira, they recite HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the source of the shira stems from Chazal, or some celestial correlation of these beings. I don't know if a frog says shira, but there could be some celestial correlation for the race of frogs. There's a shira to nature, and in many ways, and this is a bit ironic, a lot of our life right now is ironic, we hear it more. I hear the shira of nature a little bit more. The birds are chirping, and I just feel as if humanity has retreated and nature has filled the space and filled the emptiness, and there's a greater shira, and our silence allows us to hear the movement of nature and the movement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and somehow that should reinforce our sense that the world is continuing. This isn't the end of the universe, the end of nature continues, the sun is rising, the birds are chirping, the rivers in the north are full, and the human race is now struggling with that, with an issue that looks like it could be devastating in many respects. But not to get into all that apocalyptic, dystopian part of our culture, the world's going to change to a post-nuclear era, but the world will continue, unfortunately. Think about what happened in the Spanish flu, or talk about the cholera outbreak, and talk about the Black Plague. These are things that are hundreds of years ago, but there are videos and pictures of the Spanish flu. I spoke to my father last night, and I asked him, Dad, did your parents tell you about the Spanish flu? My grandfather lived through the Spanish flu. My father said, not really, but my father told me he had studied about it. And I don't know how much of a percentage of the world's population, but thank God the world has progressed since 1918. And we hope to continue to progressing after we can help ourselves through this pandemic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us. So I think the silence lets us hear a nature that's been abuzz with activity. The sun isn't silent. We're silent. But the sun isn't silent, the birds aren't silent, the spring is changing, the season is changing. I'm sure there are going to be interesting Zoom questions, which I assume the halacha would be, because during Nisan we make a bracha about the flowering of nature and the outpouring of nature. Maybe I'll give a shir about this shir and the Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the bracha we make to capture that is the bracha on the Ilanos, and I'm assuming people may not be able to travel to Ilanos, so hopefully we can have people who have blossoming trees, fruit blossoming trees, take pictures or set up Zooms and we'll make the bracha. Number five, of course, our silence, and now I'm getting more towards existential and theological moments. Our silence allows us just to be more in touch with our own thoughts. When's the last time before the quarantine you sat for 15 minutes and thought about one issue in total silence, not moving from YouTube video to YouTube video or from task to task, or from class to class, or from site to site, but just sat there thinking. And our thoughts are very deep, and sometimes we feel frustrated that we know we have very, very deep thoughts, and we can't express them properly, and sometimes they lose their power when we try to express them. And again, I was thinking about this when we said, Slichas Amareinu Hazin Hashem, we want Hashem to listen to our words, the Amira, Bina Hagigenu, we want to really be part of our heart, and be part of our inner thoughts, and I think that a lot of us have become more in touch with ourselves, more in touch with our thoughts, more in touch. The world's so busy, so frantic, and the videos force us to process so much information at once that our minds are just occupied. And now's the time, I spoke about this a little bit yesterday, to let go and to think and to become more deeply attuned to what you're feeling, more deeply attuned to what others in your world are feeling. And like I said, be very, very careful with your relationships, because no one has any place to run to now. There's no place to run right now. Everyone's together. So be careful about what you say to people. And if someone says something negative or hostile to you, just take it with aplomb and just be forbearing. And just try these family units and family dynamics are very, very tightly knit. And when you throw in a lot of anxiety and fear and dread and financial stress, it can become a cocktail. It's very explosive. And everyone should try their utmost to ratchet down and to just be, and be a source of cheer and good spirit and tolerance. And it's just so, so important. The stories that we're hearing of families that are suffering and worse. So, Mr. Hashem, we should continue to be there for each other and just to be loving and caring and just remember, there are people dying. So if someone does something wrong to you, or you didn't get the right part from the grocery store, the right food, just try to put it into perspective, try to get some proportion. But really the issue I started with, and this is really the hardest issue to tackle, is why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu associated with silence? Why is Ribono Shel Olam associated with silence? Because when Eliyahu meets Hashem, it's called the Mamadaka. So I've talked about what silence does for us. It gives us a chance to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gezerah, to feel sadness. But why is Hashem part of the silence? So I want to talk about two issues. I want to share a story about Rav Sheshes, Megoran Brachos. That's one reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu was associated with silence. And then I want to talk about another issue, which partially speaks to yesterday's share about Chassidus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unlimited presence in our world. And the Gemara in Brachos, I won't get up to find the Gemara, but the Gemara in Brachos, I'll just paraphrase the story, has a story of a Stuke, a Sadducee, basically a heretic, looking to tease Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes was blind. So he was trying to tease him. The Stukim didn't really appreciate Chazal. A lot of hostility, a lot of animosity. So looking to tease him, to taunt him. He says, you're a blind man. You can't even tell when the king comes, something which you would assume the average commoner would be able to discern. So I'm actually just going to make a shahakal because my fast is over. Some of us fasted the whole day. Okay. So the Rav Sheshes said, don't worry, I'll be able to see the king and you won't. So what happened? There was a large sail and blaring horns, and the tsuke felt the king was coming, and he leapt up and he said, I'm going to run and greet the king and you'll miss him. And of course, the king wasn't there. There was another volley and another rank of soldiers that came by blaring horns and beating drums, and the tsuke said, well, I must be here. He ran to greet the king, no king. And then there was a lot of silence, prolonged and protracted silence. And Rav Sheshes said, the king's coming. And he quoted this pasuk in Malachim Aleph. Parakites called him a madaka, love the rash, love the eish, love the ruach, called him a madaka. And what I think the point of this story was, that even the blind man can see, is that Hashem doesn't come with a lot of noise by definition, morally, because he's demonstrating the trait of tznius. Hashem is everywhere, but he's Yoshe B'Seser Elyon, but you can't really detect him. And that's a moral statement about Kodesh Baruch Hu's tznius, and it's something I talked about in the WhatsApp chat. And it's also because of what I said before, that actions and speech, they create divisions, they create separation. But Kadosh Baruch Hu is unlimited, ubiquitous, and integrated. And when there's noise, and when there's speech, and when there's action, when it's machshava, even when there's machshava, when Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he spoke, he rakia, he kavra mayim, basar mamaris nivra olam, that in itself wasn't a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will. That was a secretion of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That was a hafrasha that came from Hashem's will. Hashem's will, even speech. Speech is finite. Speech is divided. I'm speaking to you now. When I stop speaking, I won't be speaking. This is my word. This is not my word. This is my sentence. So speech is not the essence of Hashem. Action is not the essence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Silence, where there's no speech, and it's all integrated, and there's nothing dividing. Just, I'll be silent for a moment. You'll see it's a very different experience. It's more integration than when I'm speaking. There's breath, there's continuity, there's integration. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in that silence because the silence is the closest we have, let's call it this way, the closest we have in the human realm to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unlimited, ubiquitous, integrated essence. Because every time we speak, we create units that are quantified and separate. Every time we take an action, units, quantified and separate. The closest we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, it's such an approximation, but the closest we can to be at one with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is when we have that silence, which is continuous, isn't interrupted, not action, it's not speech. And that's why Eliyahu meets Hashem in the silence, not just because he's being taught how to deal with silence, because in our silence, we come closest to feeling the authentic, or the cosmic presence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we're living in a quieter world. Let's think about how to deal with that quiet. Let's turn it into an asset rather than a deficit. Our lives are so busy. We travel so much. There's so much in our minds and in our hearts and so much distraction. Let's take that for focus, for accepting Hashem's gezerah, for thinking about larger, more gravitas issues, appreciating nature, thinking, being more in touch with ourselves, and of course, trying to feel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's, as I spoke about yesterday, is not us coming to Hashem, but us contracting and suppressing some of our day-to-day Infinite HaKadosh Baruch Hu presence. I want you to have a good night, a healthy night, Emirat Hashem. We should hear Beseris Tavos, Bekarov, and Emirat Hashem, those who are fasting, continuing to fast, those who even are not fasting, please try to say Mishana when you have a chance. Laila Tov. Again, it's good to see everyone. I tend to try to mute everyone when you come in, but now I try to unmute everyone, so please say hello, check in. I see Elijah, I see Jared, I see Noam. Jonathan, Lynn, good to see you also. And there's some people who joined without pictures, but well represented.
For all the Yeshivim in the past, I really enjoy it every day.
Okay.
Likewise.
I can't to put on light at all.
Be well, everyone. Be careful.